Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
My greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Tony welcoming you to the Lighthouse Team Bible Study. And I'm sure glad to have you with us. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again now, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to take us through this study this evening, Father, and to bring to us the truth and the revelation of this, your word, Father, to give us a greater understanding than what we as men would get on our own, so that we can grow, Father, in spirit and in truth, and walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father, grow with you. And I'm asking this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in chapter 8 of the book of Acts. Beginning here with verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. We're talking about the death of Stephen here. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now you see, this Saul that was standing and giving voice unto the death of Stephen how he is treating the church and all. He's going into homes and all, and it's not just men, but men and women both, and taking them back and committing them to prison because they are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing about that is, you know, the earlier prosecutions that we studied about in chapters 4 and 5 involved the persecutions of the Christian leaders, the apostles, by the Jewish leaders, primarily the priests, and the persecution, this persecution actually that we're talking about now, really is much worse and more severe because it involves the lay people, and since it comes from the hands of Saul, yet God's work prospers in that the gospel is widely spread outside of Jerusalem. So it is growing good through the Gentile communities outside of Jerusalem. Now, 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, these people of this little town are standing in one accord, and they are actually accepting what Philip is teaching. 7. Here are some of the things that they've seen happening. 7. For the unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Now, you see, got them being cleansed from these evil spirits that is in them, and also those with palsies and were lame were also being healed. 8. And there was a great joy in that city. You see, a lot of them there are accepting the teaching of Philip here. 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before times in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He's using sorcery, see, to lift himself up and make something big out of himself. Well, that's not going to work with God. 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. You see, he was picking up a following. 11. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries, using trickery and witchcraft. Now, 12. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now you see, Philip's making a difference here. He's taking some now away from Simon. Here, 13. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now he had become a believer and he's been baptized. 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, these churches out here is telling you that when you're baptized, you are automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. This right here is letting you know that's not so. Now, does it happen? Yes, once in a while, God has a reason to give someone everything all at the same time. But that is very, very, very seldom. Now, 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost were given, he offered them money. Now, you see, they are also, a lot of our churches teaching you that once you become, you repent and you're baptized, that you can't fall away. You see, that's not true either. Now, you see, because for one, Simon was still on his way of growing. He had not yet been born again. Now, once you're born again, you won't fall away. But up to that point, there is always that possibility of Satan and his temptations and him coming against you will drag you away. Now, there in 18, he's offering them money to get this gift of whoever he lays his hands on to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You see, we can't purchase any gift of God with money. There's no way of buying anything from God. That is all his gifts and for his children. So that's not working. 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. You see, he had not yet gotten his heart right. Now, 22. He's telling him here, repent therefore of this, thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. This is what he's thinking about, Simon. 24. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. 28. Was returning and setting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He's asking if he understands what he's reading. 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he denied Philip that he would come up. I'm sorry. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. 32. Place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. Now you see there talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in those two verses. 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? You see, he doesn't get the understanding. But he's asking Philip. 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, you know, you can actually go to Isaiah chapter 53 and preach one of the greatest messages and service about the Lord Jesus Christ of any place in the Bible. All from chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. Now, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, began at that same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized, and he baptized him. 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The Spirit carried Philip away. Now they are those who say that can't happen. Oh, but yes, it can. The Philip can take you wherever he wants you to go. Think about that. Now, Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And we have now finished with chapter 8 of this, the book of Acts. Now, chapter 9, verses in that. But we'll see what the Lord will let us do. Verse 1 of chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Now, you see, the persecution described in chapter 7 and 8 continues for some time, since Saul will not allow it to cease. Even after the Christians are scattered from Jerusalem and Judea, Paul travels 150 miles to Damascus to harass them. And here is a man that has taken no telling how many men and women back to prison, to be in prison and even killed, standing and giving his voice for actually one of the first deacons to be stoned to death. And yet, there is coming a time that God is going to use that man greatly. You say, why would he do that? Because, you see, God knows things that you and I don't know. For men like that, if it would have been left up to men, mankind, they would not have done it. But you see, the Lord knew that once Paul started to believe, he would never falter, nor would he ever fall, and that he would stand on the truth always, right up to his death, which it did cost him. He died because of exactly what he was arresting others for. Verse 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You see, he's on his way again now, making another trip to another town to arrest as many as he can find that are believers in the Lord Jesus. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. You see, God's getting ready to work his mighty work, letting us see his power and his love. 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You see, actually here is depicted as a rebellious beast that fights against the pride of its master. He is persecuting Jesus in that he is afflicting the body of Christ. When someone does something for or against a Christian, Jesus Christ not only knows, but feels it just as we do. And he is moved with the feeling of our infirmities. You see, he knows everything, and he feels everything. Now, here in 5, he said, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Yet it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, he's speaking to him, letting him know really who he is. But he hasn't let him know what's going to happen yet. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man, but they could hear the voice. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He's blind again. He is blind now. 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. You see, Jesus can speak to you and you can hear with the heart and know what is said and know the voice. Now, 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. You see, Jesus is sending another man that is filled with the Spirit to him to do the work. 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. See, Ananias had already heard about it. 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. He is chosen. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus knows that when he chose him to carry the gospel, that because of that, he is going to suffer much. Now, 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeareth unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled the Holy Ghost. Now, you see, he's getting ready, more or less, he is being one that is going to get everything all at one time. Now, 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Now, From this time on, you're going to find Paul walking stronger and stronger and stronger as he goes. 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gate day and night to kill him. Now you see, they're wanting to kill Saul now. 25. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. That's how he got out of the city, being let down in a basket outside the wall so he could get away. 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now the Lord's disciples, see, are refusing him. They're afraid of him. 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. 28. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians that they went about to slay him. So far, all that is coming in contact with him, you see, is wanting to kill him. They're wanting to slay him and kill him. 30. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, you see, a lot of them is being multiplied now. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia, and there he found a certain man named Phineas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Phineas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. 35. And all that dwelt at Lydia and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. You see, things like that was turning people in that day unto the Lord. But today, our churches have grown so weak, we're not seeing this out of any of them. Now, it doesn't mean that the Lord's not doing it today or wouldn't do it, because he is wanting it done. And as we go on through, the time we get out of the book of Acts, you're going to see actually what he is wanting of those that are his. Now, 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. 38. Now she's dead. They put her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. We're sending for Peter now. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. They're showing him things she had done. 40. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. You think the power of God, it worked here. And he gave her his hand, lifted her up, when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. You know, you can only imagine their thoughts, their surprise feeling at this time when they see this. 42. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. You see, there again, this power of God has brought many to believe in the Lord. 43 in the last verse of chapter 9. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now, we have come to the end now of chapter 9. And God willing, the next time we'll be getting in to chapter 10 and dealing with a lot of other situations, different things that Peter is going to be doing for the next, the next chapter that I know of, and maybe even more than that. But for the next chapter in 3 yet, we know that we're going to be hearing more about Peter. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we close your word now. And Father, we do thank you for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for time that we can come together and share this word with each other so that we can grow thereby and become better children in the kingdom of yours, Father. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them in health, keep them safe, and to see to their needs. And Father, Jerusalem, we're told to pray for them and have peace, and we do, Father. But even more than that, we pray for them, Father, to all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as the Son of the living God, and that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Father, this land of ours, with all of its evil, we pray, Father, that those leaders that are evil will be replaced by those that belong to you, love the Lord, love your church and your people, and love this country, and will work with us to bring this country to repent and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for those that are with me in this ministry, Father, I know you love them and I love them. And we all need prayer, Father. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with us all. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, and Amy's husband Tom, and Amy's son Jacob, James Taylor, and Bobby and Millie Johnson, and this young couple, Father, that is in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, Courtney and Shane, Father, and myself, and all of our families, keep us all in health. Watch over us and deliver us so that, Father, that we will not enter into temptation, that we will always keep turning it away. And I'm asking for your blessing upon us, Father, to use us in great and mighty ways in sharing and spreading this gospel. And Father, bring us back together in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. And I'm asking this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great day. And a great night. Rest. Be careful. And you that are on the highways, be extra careful. Have a great night.